The Pilgrim's arrival in what is now Plymouth, Massachusetts in 1620 has been celebrated and taught to school children as the origin of what would become the United States and Thanksgiving. Elsewhere on today's show, Peter O'Dowd takes us to Plymouth, to the mythical landing site of the Mayflower, Plymouth Rock. He met up with Donna Curtin, executive director of the Pilgrim Hall Museum, who led him to a rather small rock.
So we have the poor little top of the rock that's been exposed, as you can see, to the tides coming in, covering it twice a day. It's covered up underwater. And this placement was done about 100 years ago in 1920, because the rock used to be up on higher ground, and people were kind of confused, thinking of it as the landing place. It should be down by the shore.
Now, it isn't very big.
The poor rock has been chipped and split and dropped and souvenir hunted for centuries. So we're looking at something that is not in the prime of its youth and glory, but has been used and interacted with sometimes pretty aggressively over the course of many, many generations.
Well, that's one part of the national story. But for Native Americans, Thanksgiving Day is a reminder of the slaughter of millions of indigenous people and the theft of their land. 51 years ago, the United American Indians of New England declared Thanksgiving a national day of mourning, and the tradition continues today. Tanya Mosley spoke with Keisha James, the granddaughter of one of the founders of the National Day of Mourning. They spoke in 2020.
Your grandfather helped start the National Day of Mourning after he was asked to give a speech 50 years ago to commemorate the 350th anniversary of Plymouth. Tell us the story of what happened that led to your grandfather's speech.
Sure. So the Pilgrim descendants decided that they wanted to hold a banquet to commemorate the 350th anniversary of the landing of the Mayflower, and they wanted a Wampanoag man to speak at the banquet. They invited my grandfather under the condition that he would provide an advance copy of his speech. They gave the excuse that they wanted to check it for spelling and grammatical errors, but really they wanted to check it for content. He went away, he wrote his speech, he came back. He gave it to them, and they told him that he absolutely, under no circumstances, could give the speech that he was planning on giving, and they offered to write him a different speech. They were quite angry about the speech he wrote because it told the truth about Thanksgiving. It didn't praise the Pilgrims, and of course, his job was really to be praising the Pilgrims. That's why they asked him. So he refused to give the edited speech that they wanted him to give. And he and a group of supporters instead got together, and on November 27th, 1970, they met atop Coles Hill in Plymouth, and that's when the first National Day of Mourning took place.
You've spent your whole life understanding Thanksgiving to be this National Day of Mourning. How do you honor this day, and tell us what it means to you?
Sure. So I'm 21 years old, and I've been going to National Day of Mourning for 21 years. And for many of us, National Day of Mourning takes on a religious significance. Where we'll actually fast from sundown before the day of National Day of Mourning to sundown on National Day of Mourning. And it's really a time to remember my ancestors and what they went through and the genocide that took place on these shores. And it's also a wonderful time of Indigenous unity. We have Indigenous people from all over the world speaking at National Day of Mourning. So it's just a wonderful time to get together with Indigenous brethren and sort of commemorate our ancestors and look toward the future.
This is has really become an international day of mourning to really remember Indigenous peoples all over the world. You know, it's been said that our country right now is in the midst of a racial reckoning, and we've been questioning our relation to power, and this definitely extends to celebrations like Thanksgiving. What would you have non-Native people do on this day in ways that center Indigenous people?
So I would first say educate yourself, educate your children, if you have them, your siblings, sort of whoever's in your life, educate them about the real history of Thanksgiving, and try to divorce your Thanksgiving celebrations from the Thanksgiving mythology. So no more Pilgrims and Indians, no more teaching your children about the first Thanksgiving as we learn it in public school, where it was a friendly meal. And also really try to take a minute to learn about the tribe whose land you're on and their struggles. And if you can financially donate to those struggles, but really just try to make Thanksgiving not the only day you think about Indigenous people out of the year.
Have you had a chance to talk with non-Indigenous people about this? Because so much of America's identity is tied up in this story. This is one of the foundational stories of America. But as we learn more about our history, we're learning that the day was not this day that we've been taught in schools. What have people been telling you as they've come into this consciousness?
So there are really sort of two schools of thought people fall into, where there are some people who are very receptive because over the years they've sort of understood that most of what they've been taught is a lie. For example, Christopher Columbus, his legacy was far more brutal than is taught in schools. They've sort of had to come to a reckoning that they're perhaps not taught the truth in school, and so they're quite open to learning about the truth of Thanksgiving. But unfortunately, there is a pretty significant chunk of the country that doesn't want to face the truth. And so we get comments from people sort of saying, why do you want to ruin this day? Like, just let people eat dinner with their family type thing. And of course, we always say that we're not against Thanksgiving as a concept. You know, I have nothing wrong with people getting together with their friends and family and eating a meal together. You know, that's not the part of Thanksgiving I object to. It's the Thanksgiving mythology. And so we're essentially extending our hand to these people and saying, here's the truth. If you want to learn the truth and accept the truth, come with us. And unfortunately, some people don't want to take our hand because they're committed to dying on the wrong side of history.
As we mentioned, this all began with the speech your grandfather wrote. Would you mind sharing part of it with us now before you go?
Sure. So I have chosen an excerpt at the very end of the speech, and he says, "Today we must work towards a more humane America, a more Indian America, where men and nature once again are important, where the Indian values of honor, truth, and brotherhood prevail. You, the white man, are celebrating an anniversary. We, the Wampanoags, will help you celebrate in the concept of a new beginning. It was the beginning of a new life for the Pilgrims. Now, 350 years later, it is the beginning of a new determination for the original American, the American Indian. There are some factors concerning the Wampanoags and other Indians across this vast nation. We now have 350 years of experience living amongst the white man. We can now speak his language. We can now think as the white man thinks. We can now compete with him for the top jobs. We're being heard. We are now being listened to. The important point is that along with these necessities of everyday living, we still have the spirit. We still have the unique culture. We still have the will and, most important of all, the determination to remain as Indians. We are determined, and our presence here this evening is living testimony that this is only the beginning of the American Indian, particularly the Wampanoag, to regain the position in this country that is rightfully ours."
Mm. Keisha, when you read those words, what does it feel like? What goes through your mind?
I think it's that our ancestors were very much fighting the same fight we're still fighting today, where part of it gives me hope because this is a visionary speech. It's envisioning a better America, a better world for Native Americans. But at the same time, you know, my grandfather's vision has still not come true 50 years after the speech. And so it just reminds me that we have a lot of work to do. We still have a long way to go for Native Americans to reclaim our proper place in this country.
That's Keisha James reading an excerpt of her grandfather's speech from 1970 on the National Day of Mourning. Keisha, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.